So from about the mid-1990s, Practical Action, or ITDG as it was then, had a whole programme on using ICTs to try to reduce poverty. But then from about 2003, I came along, not necessarily to change that, but basically to lead a programme on the whole area of new technologies, ICTs just being one of those. Other examples being biotechnology, GM crops is an obvious example there, and now we've got programmes on nanotechnology, for example. But let's just briefly go back to information and communication technologies. The reason we initially got into that was the whole thought that knowledge is really the thing that can at least have the greatest potential to change people. It was Schumacher, our founder, that once said, if you give a man a fish, you feed them for a day. Tell somebody how to fish and you feed them for a lifetime. So basically our whole approach in Practical Action from the very foundation, which is 40 years old now, is basically to look at how we can share knowledge, how we can very much work in participation with people. And we're very much people-focused. Although we are a technology organisation, we're not technology-led. In other words, we don't go in with a solution which is technology-focused. We go in to try to understand the problem that people have got with improving their livelihoods, with whatever it might be in the community that they want to achieve, like getting clean water, like better waste disposal or whatever. And then we work with them to understand what kind of technology might be an appropriate solution. And so the same has to be true for these new technologies. And it may intuitively seem a bit of a leap there, but actually it's important to try to visualise how ICTs and other new technologies can be, in the traditional sense, intermediate technologies or appropriate technologies. So that's a bit of history. Now, when we first started with ICT programmes, they were focused on particular projects in particular areas. Like, for instance, we've got projects in the Northern Andes in Peru. And these are based around providing access for poor communities to knowledge and information. But, you know, we quickly realised that one of the key problems there is that not everybody can, sounds obvious now, not everybody can gain access to a computer because of language, because of education levels or whatever. So what we've tried to learn as a result of that process is what makes, I suppose, effective communications. And this is where we got to thinking about the role of voice and the traditional ways in which communities and people generally learn and interact with each other is largely through stories, largely through drama. And we thought, well, if we could use a new technology which was focused around using voice, then that might have a greater success and impact in improving livelihoods or reducing poverty in communities. So that's how we hit on the idea of using podcasting, which is a pilot study that we just completed in Peru, and one where we're now wanting to go out into both Zimbabwe and Sri Lanka in different circumstances, different contexts in both those countries, different audiences, to try to see what lessons we might learn. So reflecting on that, what I'm saying in summary is that the general model of Practical Action is to test out a technology, see when it works best, when it doesn't, adapt it, make it appropriate for the circumstances, and then, if you like, scale up. In other words, share knowledge with anybody. It might be other agencies like Christian Aid or Oxfam, other NGOs, or it might be governments or municipalities, or it might be other local communities in other countries. But in recognition that we are small, we don't necessarily wish to grow to be big. Our founder wrote the book Small is Beautiful. We still kind of keep to that maxim, if you like. And what we're trying to do here is gather knowledge based on good evidence and then share that with other people so other people can join in the implementation of the work. We realise we can't do that alone.
You talked about stories in their relation to education. Can you just elaborate on that a little more?
Yeah, sure. I think what we found is that within traditional societies, particularly those that may have lived a little bit more remotely from the influences of, shall we say, Western civilization, then they depend upon the time-honoured ways of storing, capturing and retelling knowledge. Not necessarily paper, certainly not computers, but largely through the telling of stories round a fire, sharing a meal, And also I think drama is very important in that storytelling, acting out possibly with music in some traditions. And this is basically how traditional societies have, in a time-honored fashion, shared their knowledge and passed it on between generation and generation. The situation we're now facing in development is that because the world is changing and having an impact on even remote societies in different parts of the world, is we need to find ways of connecting with those people to provide them with the necessary choice and tools. Do they want to continue living in a traditional way? Do they have aspirations for education for the children, for other ways of living? And very much what we try to do here is give people choice. And that to me is really, really important. So within that, I think stories are really important ways of getting messages across. Essentially, what we've done, if I just take example of what we've done recently in Peru, that's the one I know best, I guess. It's part of a wider project that we've been working on with local communities in the northern area of the Andes around the Cajamarca region. We've been working with 8 specific rural communities there at various levels of altitude, often pretty remote. And our experience has been, we've been trying to support them with information, and we did at first, unfortunately, use the model of, well, here is information we think will be useful, and of course that doesn't work. This was many years ago. What we've learned, and what many people have learned in other projects as well, is you need to talk to people, you need to understand what their daily life is like, engage with them, and find out what information would be really, really useful. And that's a process we've been doing now for several years. So when it came to capturing content on audio, we had experience of community radio. We had experience of talking to people in a participative way in order to capture content which we disseminated in other electronic means via the internet and so on. But now we found that people actually are coming to us and saying, we want to learn how to make a podcast. We want to do this ourselves. And to me, that's a really great story of impact. It's only anecdotal evidence of how it might work. But actually what it's saying is, we've heard your stories. We've heard your attempts at capturing information, giving us information which is useful. We really like the media. We really think it's working in our culture. We want to do it in our voices, not your voices. And that really is how I think it will spread. And spread through little effort on our own behalf and little cost on our own behalf. People need, just like I was saying with fishing, they need to learn how to use these technologies. And basically audio technology is relatively straightforward and simple. And especially an advantage, I think, of podcasting as distinct from broadcasting is the low capital cost of equipment, which makes it portable and geographically less dependent on a particular centre or a particular input of capital. And these factors, I think, are really important in the spread of this kind of media in the future. I suppose the theme is strengthening livelihoods. Okay, so we can just take that apart a little bit. For example, there will be information about what kind of crops and a new particular crop, if you like, in a general sense, that's a commercial crop that's used in the Andes now is the vine, in order to produce wine, basically, for commercial exploitation. Not traditionally being grown in that area, but has been grown very successfully in an area that we're working in called Chilete, which is between the coast and Cajamarca. So it's slightly lower altitude, very good for growing of the vine. And what we've done there is capture the local knowledge, soil types, irrigation technologies for the particular climate that you face in those particular valleys, and then spread that to other similar geographic locations. So it's about strengthening people's capability of using land and other resources in order to improve their livelihoods. Another example might be looking after alpacas, obviously a traditional livestock in that area. But with climate change, what we're finding is the winters are getting more severe. And over the last 3 years, for example, many more snows have fallen and more alpacas have died through kind of, obviously they're very adept at the the high altitudes and the relatively severe winters from our perspective. But even so, more alpacas have died in the last few years. And what we've done there is help, again, in designing with local input shelters, which are basically open-ended structures, but they're sufficient to provide some shelter from the wind and icy conditions. And the alpacas literally pack together, conserve their heat, and they've survived the winters in flocks. We have local people talking, essentially, mostly in Spanish. Some areas in Quechua language, but a lot of them in Spanish. So we have a local project there called the Camioc, which is about strengthening, I suppose, local farmers' voices in a way. And so we're trying to link up with that project, which again has been going on for a long time, working with farmers, trying to improve the techniques and the culture there, and try to provide training for new generations and spreading some new knowledge, really, essentially. So by linking up with those existing projects, we're able to provide, if you like, a new platform, a new media, which will take that a step further forward. And again, part of the strategy of, if you like, scaling up and spreading the word beyond the communities that we might reach otherwise.